Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday. It's good to be back. It's good to see all of y'all. yeah, we were on vacation. We went to Yellowstone National Park. Truly, if you haven't been there, you might want to put it on your bucket list because it was a magnificent week. Not only is Yellowstone absolutely beautiful, you know, everything about Yellowstone is beautiful. The wildflowers, the waterfalls, the canyon, you know, the geysers, just everything about it is beautiful. But they have an incredible amount of wildlife that can be safely viewed. We saw, of course, a ton of wild buffalo. They have a lot of wild buffalo. One night we were caught in a traffic jam for about an hour. Because an entire herd of buffalo decided to cross the street, get in the river, swim across the river, and go off into the woods. And it took about an hour to let the buffalo cross the street. So there was this traffic jam at Yellowstone. We saw a lot of elk. We saw three grizzly bears, one black bear. We saw a wolf and a marmot and some little squirrels there that were different than any kind of squirrel I've seen before. And we also, near Yellowstone, not at Yellowstone, but in Cody, Wyoming, got to see a bunch of wild horses, wild Mustangs. And it was really fun to sit and watch them. So we really had a fantastic time. Oh, and one more thing I got to do that I didn't even know was on my bucket list until I saw it. It never even crossed my mind that I would have the opportunity to do this. Lisa Hansen knows. I texted her immediately after. But I got to set on a 1,900-pound bull. That's nearly 2,000 pounds, nearly a ton. They had one at the rodeo there. They had his head tied very, very tightly so that his nose was like right up against the railing. The rest of his body was not tied, but apparently if his head is tied, he thinks he's tied. So he could have bucked me off if he had figured out that he really wasn't tied, but he guess he didn't know that. And so I got to climb up on top of this bull, and yeah, that's a lot of bull, as Lisa says. I got to climb up on top of this bull and set on him, and even setting on a bull that's supposedly standing still is an amazing experience because there were flies around and he would shake, you know, to try and get the flies off of him. And even when he shook just that little bit, there is so much muscle on this guy and every muscle moves individually. And so even when he would shake to try and, you know, shake off the flies, there was this feeling that, you know, I really needed to hold on or I was going to slip off. I can't imagine riding the bulls like these bull riders do because his really has so many muscles and, you know, and it just seems like they're designed to move so that you fall off. So it was really, really an amazing experience. Oh, Dove is asking if I told him about the Rocky Mountain oysters. It didn't cross my mind, but no, I think I would have kept that a secret from him. I don't think I would have told him that I had eaten Rocky Mountain oysters. He may not have liked it. And this was one big guy. I mean, he was really big. So we really had a marvelous time. It was a great vacation, and I was telling Danielle, you know, like all Jews are supposed to visit Jerusalem once in their lifetime. All Chinese people are supposed to visit the Great Wall once in their lifetime. I said, I think all Americans should go to Yellowstone at least once in their lifetime because it's an incredible experience. You know, usually to get a true wildlife experience, you have to go hiking off into the mountains, which many people can't do. But at Yellowstone, you don't have to do that. You just drive around in your car and get out and take short walks every now and then, and you can have a true wildlife wilderness experience. Yet it's safe, you know, you get the thrill without the danger. Cheryl did tell me that someone was killed there by a grizzly a couple weeks before we went, but I think that's rare. For the most part, if you keep your distance there and just watch them and be safe, you really get to see some wildlife, you know, just doing their thing, and it's wonderful. So Laurent says, and all persons should look and check if they are really a person. All right. So again, Welcome. Welcome to Sunday evening, Holy Spirit Guides. Laurent was here last week, and he went over the message of the bus. And tonight I'm going to go over a message that says, it's called, You Like Having the Body to Blame. And this is really a very good message because so many people have issues with their body. So I've just given you a link. It is on reginadonacres.com. It is dated December 7th, 2007. So if you're not in the room to get the link, you can just look it up at reginadonacres.com. What I would like to do before I start going over the message is say a prayer. And if you all feel like joining me for the prayer, I think that would be great. Holy Spirit, I do want to thank you for experience. I think that sometimes as we begin to study the teachings that point to truth, we become prejudiced against experience. I don't feel that experience is bad. I feel that if we take experience too seriously, if we're attached to it, if we feel that we need certain types of experiences in order to be happy or safe, that then experience leads to suffering. But Inner Ramana told us that the purpose of experience was joy. And it seems that as I move further and further along with my spiritual practice, I agree with that statement more and more. I also see the obstacles to joy. Again, too much attachment to certain types of experience, judging some types of experience as bad and some types of experience as good, thinking that we need certain types of experience in order to be safe or happy or fulfilled or worthy. But when all of that is removed, experience is as innocent as we are. It just is here, and then it's not. And it's replaced by another experience which also comes and goes. And it's somewhat like an orchestra playing music. It is varied, and yet we can experience from a state of constantness, constant awareness, which allows experience just to come and to go and to be enjoyed. I've heard the metaphysical stories about how we came to be in this experience of being in a world and in bodies, and they're really nice stories. I don't claim to know any truth at all about how this experience has come to be. But there's nothing in me anymore that wants to judge it. I want to say thank you. However this experience came to be, thank you. Let us heal our minds of anything that would block our enjoyment of experience, including thinking we are something other than that which we are. Amen. All right.
Hi, Jamie.
She's happy I'm home, I think.
She acts like she's happy I'm home.
And right now she acts like she would like me to just leave you guys and take her outside for a you-know-what. She thinks that going outside and doing what she wants to do is a lot more important than what we're doing.
In a little bit, my love, after dinner, okay?
Yeah. All right, so as I mentioned, we're going to look at the message called You Like Having the Body to Blame. And I told you guys a story way back when I first started sharing the messages that were given to Laurent and me. Oh yeah, Lisa spelled out the word I can't say in front of Jamie. That's what she wants. Anyway, I told you all a story, and I think probably before looking at this message, it's helpful to kind of go back and look at that story. I told you all that when Laurent and I were feeling guidance to come together, I had a lot of fear. Fear of rejection is really what it was. A lot of fear of rejection. And I came to understand that fear a lot better later. And in fact, that's still in the future of where we are in this story right now. So we will get later to the point where I really look at the fear of rejection. It did come up in this relationship, and I'm really grateful that it did, because it was healed. But going into the relationship, I had a big fear of rejection. And at that point, the primary thought in my mind was that I would be rejected by Laurent when he saw me naked. You may remember the story. So it was really the body's fault that I would be rejected. I even remember, and some of you guys may have felt this at some time, I remember thinking that if I could heal my mind, my body would get better. You know, some of you may have had that thought too, like if I could let go of my belief in unworthiness, my thighs would become more attractive. And literally driven by that purpose, I would try to let go of unworthiness so that my thighs could become more attractive, and then I could be worthy. And now I see the absolute insanity in that. I mean, it's let go of unworthiness so my thighs could be more attractive, and then I would be worthy. Can you guys hear the insanity in that? I mean, you can't even let go of unworthiness with that thought process in your mind, because the core of the thought process is unworthiness. There's no way that it would ever work. You may remember, Lisa says, it's simpler to blind my partner. I didn't think of that. Good for Laurent, that didn't cross my mind. Lucky for Laurent, I didn't have that idea. I had a lot of fear, okay, so back to that. I had a lot of fear of rejection, and my projection was that the rejection would come about because of my body. And some of you may remember very, very early in this relationship, one of the first messages that Spirit talked to me about was the images I was carrying around in my head that were playing out this rejection that was going to happen. And what he literally asked me to do was to let go of the images that I was carrying around in my head and to replace them with a different image. And I told you all that he actually gave me the image. I didn't make up the image. The image was provided. And the image was an image of Laurent and me, both naked, but in the kitchen, just cooking and talking and joking. It wasn't really a sexual image, even though we were both naked. In fact, what it could really be likened to would be Adam and Eve before they ate of the fruit of the tree, right? Where they would be naked, but not necessarily sexual, right? They didn't think anything of their nakedness. And I was told to let go of the images that I had of rejection and to replace them with this image. And in the beginning, it was extremely, extremely difficult for me, because my projection onto the body as the cause of the rejection was so strong that I would, you know, try and imagine this image that Spirit had given me of Laurent and I just cooking and having fun in the kitchen, and I just couldn't. And so the second message that came in that particular series was Spirit telling me not to try so hard. Just, when the image came, you know, just to look at the image and if possible, enjoy the possibility of the image for a little bit. And then when it started to feel like a pressure trying to hold on to it, just to let it go. And that if I would, you know, just allow this image into my mind whenever it came and hold on to it for as long as it lasted with ease, you know, that would be helpful. Spirit never told me how that would be helpful. I did that practice. And the truth is, the benefits of the practice unfolded over a period of what I'm going to call years. Continued to unfold even after Laurent and I were no longer together. Because the practice wasn't really about me and Laurent. The practice was about, the practice was about my belief in my own unworthiness, my belief in my own rejectability, and my projecting it onto the body. And the practice was about slowly allowing that to be undone by allowing and enjoying an image that was the opposite of shame, right? The pre-eating of the fruit image of just being able to be naked and having fun and not thinking anything at all of the nakedness. Can you guys imagine that for a minute? I mean, just, I don't know how you feel about your own bodies, but can you imagine just being naked, maybe not with a lover, maybe, you know, just in like when I was in Japan, they call them baths, but they're actually big like swimming pools, and people go into them naked, you know? And can you imagine just going into the bath with people you don't know of both sexes, of all ages, and not thinking anything of your nakedness or anyone else's nakedness? I mean, not thinking anything. You know, absolute innocence. No projection on the body whatsoever. Barb is saying, like going to a nude beach. Yeah. So the truth is, we do project a lot of shame onto the body, and in fact, it's one of the very, very first Bible stories, right? Adam and Eve eat of the fruit of the tree, and then the first thing they feel is shame. It's projected onto the body, and they hide, right? So, could you also use the word exposed in place of naked? That's a good question, and sometimes the answer is yes. Because the truth is, when you go deeper, you know, there's also, well, in fact, let me tell you another story really quick, Frank. Let me tell you another story. I told you that this healing that came from being willing to look at this image in the mind of the kitchen, that this healing occurred over years. One thing that happened was that I had secrets that I was also terrified to share with Laurent. I was afraid that when I told him my secrets, he would reject me. So really, I had projected my belief in rejectability onto a couple things. One thing was the body, which we're going to look at tonight. But the other thing that was my secrets. If he knew my secrets, he would leave me. He would reject me, right? And one night, Laurent and I were watching a movie. We watched a lot of movies. We were together. And I don't remember the name of this particular movie, but we were watching a movie. And there was a woman in the movie who had secrets. I really don't even remember the details of the movie. What I remember is my reaction. I really hated this woman. I despised her. And it was even surprising to me how much fury I had for a character in a film. And I came to realize, of course, that this was just a projection of how much I was beginning to hate myself for keeping secrets from Laurent. And yet, I was terrified to tell him because of the rejection I expected. And what had happened, and this was after I had been given the image to hold in the mind, what had happened, at least my interpretation of what had happened was, as I held on to this image in the mind as best I could, as Holy Spirit asked me to, it began to push up in me, push up, I don't know what to say, it just pushed up in me an intolerance for my own secret keeping. I guess that's the best way to say it. It kind of pushed it up, flushed up in me an intolerance for my own secret keeping. And this movie was the straw that broke the camel's back. And so even though I was terrified on the one hand of telling him, it got to where I could not tolerate keeping the secrets. The pain of keeping the secrets actually became more unbearable than the fear. So what I did after watching this film, I couldn't look him in the eye and tell him, but what I got a notebook, and I wrote out everything that I did not want to tell him. And then I gave him the notebook, and I asked him to please go outside and read it. It was a sunny day, and I think he went out and laid in the sun in the yard. And I asked him to go outside and read it. And I was even teaching that day. I don't remember what I was teaching, but I was teaching while he was outside. And I remember shaking during the teaching. He came in afterwards, after he had read it. And he said, "Is that all?" That was his reaction. Is that all? You know? My deepest, darkest secrets. And he did not leave because of any of them. So in that way, nakedness is the same as exposed in that particular story. So one way that I project, and you got to understand, both are projections. The real problem was the belief in rejectability, which ultimately was healed. But both, I could be rejected because of my secrets, was one projection. And I could be rejected because of my body was another projection. And this image of us playing in the kitchen together, you know, cooking and just, you know, having fun naked, this image that Spirit asked me to hold in my mind whenever I could, it began to push up these projections, flush up these projections so that they could be healed. And as the projections became healed, then that allowed me to see the root of the problem, I would say, more clearly so that it could actually be healed. So, with that said, I'm going to take a drink of my diet strawberry limeade from Sonic. All right, and I will post the link to the message one more time because I think it's possible that a few people entered the room. And now we'll go and we will look at the message. You like having the body to blame. Okay, so remember the story I told you that I wanted my unworthiness healed so that my thighs would look better so that then I would be worthy. That crazy little loop that doesn't make any sense. Holy Spirit says, it's not true. The body is not the symbol of unworthiness. Not in the way you mean it when you say it. When you say, the body is a symbol of unworthiness for me, you really mean, I feel unworthy because of my body. You still believe that if some things about your body were different, you'd be able to love yourself. You'd be able to be happy. You'd be loved, and life would be grand. Now, during this period of time, Laurent was in Paris. And Laurent and I talked about this. This was not a secret. I'm pretty sure he knew I was doing this. Laurent and I and one other person talked about this. I would say we all three had body issues, to be honest. It wasn't just me. And I would say that we were all three caught in this loop of if we could forgive our unworthiness, maybe our body would get better and then we would be worthy, although we weren't saying it that clearly, so we weren't clear on our confusion. But one practice that I was doing, I can't remember who gave me the idea, but one practice that I was doing was I was getting naked when I was home alone, and I was laying in the living room floor, and I was telling my body that I loved it. Some of you may be familiar with this practice. It was, you know, touching myself, not in sexual ways, but like touching my thighs where I don't like my thighs or any other part of the body that I didn't like. And I was telling myself that I loved that part of my body. And again, what I was trying to do you know, kind of underneath, like the intent. As Laurent would say, the intent was not kosher. What I was trying to do ultimately was make the body better so that I would be worthy. Do you see? That's really what I was trying to do. I really had a secret hope that through this practice, the thighs would become thinner, the butt would become firmer, right? That physically the body would change. So what Spirit is saying here, he said it's not true. I mean, I was saying the body is the symbol of my unworthiness. I was saying that. But I had this crazy thought in my mind that if I let go of my unworthiness, the body would get better and then I would be worthy. It's a crazy, crazy thought. So he's saying it's not true. The body is not the symbol of unworthiness, not in the way you mean it when you say it. So he's literally correcting me at a time when I'm going through this practice. He says, when you say, the body is a symbol of unworthiness for me, you really mean, I feel unworthy because of my body. You still believe that if some things about your body were different, now listen to everything that I believed, you'd be able to love yourself, you'd be able to be happy, you'd be loved, and life would be grand. All of that if I could lose a couple inches around my thighs. And by the way, when I was with Laurent, something happened. I don't know exactly why this happened, but literally minutes before I met Laurent for the first time, I lost my appetite. And the reason I remember it so distinctly is because I was standing in a buffet line at the time, and I was looking at the buffet line thinking of all the stuff I was going to eat, and then all of a sudden, I didn't want any of it. I literally lost my appetite, not in a sick way, but just in a disappeared way. And I met Laurent within minutes of that happening. And for the first 3.5 months after I met Laurent, I could hardly eat. I could eat a few bites, but after that, it was like food became, I want to use the word disgusting, but somehow there wasn't a judgment. It was just an absolute, no, I don't want any more. But not, you know, there was no way I could eat another bite. Laurent says it was falling in love, but I actually don't say that because it started happening before I saw him for the first time. So I don't say it was falling in love. I don't know what it was. I think it had something to do with the fact that I was about to meet him. But it wasn't conscious, at least. It wasn't conscious. So in this period of time, this 3.5 months when I could not eat, I went from weighing about 140, maybe 142 pounds, to 117, which I had not weighed 117 since I was in my early 20s. I dropped from a tight size 8 to an extremely loose size 4, like lots of size 4 clothes still wouldn't fit me. They were too big. So the reason I'm telling you this is because there's a joke hidden in here somewhere. My body was literally at the best that it had been at in, 20, 25 years. So you would think that if it was true that improving the body would let go of my belief in my unworthiness and let go of my belief in my rejectability, that it would at least be extremely weak now because I'm looking better than I have in 25 years. Yet, in spite of the fact that I was all the way down to 117 pounds and in all new clothes, I still had the issue. So it proves that we really are simply projecting onto the body, but it's not the body, because otherwise the issue should have been healed or at least lessened with that dramatic change in my body. And the entire time I stayed with Laurent, my body stayed at 117. Now the interesting thing is, immediately after Laurent and I split, my body began gaining weight again, and now I'm back up to 138. So I don't know what that was about. But I do know that that means that my unworthiness wasn't caused by my body. So here I am at 117 pounds, looking better than I ever have before. And I still think that I'm unworthy because of my body. And I think if I could just get, 112? I mean, I don't know what the number was, but if I could just get it different than it was, that then I would be able to love myself, I'd be happy, I'd be loved, and life would be grand. Holy Spirit continues, this is the truth about the thought in your mind. Okay, so this is the truth about why I was laying on the floor telling my body that I loved it. He says, do not look away from this truth. To color it any differently is to hide it, and that is to continue to fool yourself into believing that you are what you are not. So let's not try to spiritualize. And you know what? We do that, and not necessarily us as individuals, but us people on the spiritual path. We spiritualize crap, you know? We spiritualize sex. We spiritualize loving our body to be beautiful. We spiritualize all kinds of stuff. And all that's doing is holding on to the ego, you know, and trying to make it look prettier to us somehow. And so he's really saying, don't continue to spiritualize this practice on the floor like you're really doing something good for yourself. Because really all that you're doing is holding on to the belief that you are a body and that you are unworthy and that you are rejectable. You're just holding on to all of that stuff in your mind. So don't try to spiritualize this with some practice that you learn from someone. You know? It's not helpful. It's keeping you stuck. Next paragraph, Holy Spirit says, the body is nothing. It seems to be the cause of extreme unworthiness, but that is only because you want it that way. The unworthiness that is housed within your mind is extreme beyond compare. You like having the body to blame because you know the body is outside of you. If you can blame the body, you can avoid the belief that scares you the most. That is the belief that you are inherently and entirely unworthy. And there is nothing to blame, and so nothing can be changed in order to change this fact. Now that's a scary thought. Okay, if you guys think about this for a second, all right? I can hate my body, right? If I wanted to, I could hate that I'm back to 138 pounds. By the way, I don't. But I could hate that. And there's something in that I like. What I like is the hope, the idea, the imagination that someday I can perfect this body and then I can be worthy. You know, there's that hope that someday I can be worthy. Of course, the hope that someday I can be worthy has to come from the belief that I'm unworthy. If I didn't believe I was unworthy now, then I wouldn't need a hope that someday I could be worthy, right? But believing, you know, that if I could just perfect the body, then I could be worthy. I like that because it says someday I might be, right? Like the old bluegrass song, I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm going to be a diamond someday, right? Someday I might be. Now what that hope is covering up is a current moment belief that I really fear. And that current moment belief is that I am inherently unworthy. That's just the truth about me. And it doesn't matter how much weight I lose, how much money I make, how big of a house I live in, how popular I am, that belief is always going to be there. I'm always going to need to change something else. I'm always going to be chasing the carrot of worthiness. What I fear the most is coming face to face with the belief that I am unworthy, that that's just my truth. And the reason I fear it is because I believe it. Because I believe it's my truth. So rather than look at what I think is true, that I'm just unworthy and there's nothing I can ever, ever do, I would rather blame something. Blame the body, blame my financial situation, blame my secrets, you know, blame the fact that I can't have a child, if that's my story. I'd rather blame something because then there's, you know, it's just projecting it away and it's not quite as painful. But that's not healing. And spirit is not going to guide us into projection, even if projection makes us feel a little better. Spirit is going to guide us to healing, even if healing means looking at the belief that we fear the most, so that we can see that it's not true, only belief for ourselves, through a very real experience, a very real healing. You know, I've had people tell me before, spirit does not guide you into pain. Spirit guides you towards healing. And if we are very afraid, very resistant, very much believing what we believe, that may be painful. But if we trust spirit and we keep stepping through it, there comes a breakthrough experience. Of Course in Miracles calls it a miracle, a shift to where we are so totally healed from the thing that we feared that it can honestly and sincerely never hurt us again. But I will be honest with you, it can be painful. It can be painful to follow that guidance into looking at these beliefs because of how much we believe them. So I don't ever tell anyone that spirit doesn't guide you into pain. He doesn't, you know, want to hurt you. You know, he wants to heal you. He wants to heal you. Spirit is very, very loving. He's not going to guide you into temporary relief. He's going to guide you into true healing. And there's nothing better than that. All right, so spirit is telling us the body is nothing. It seems to be the cause of extreme unworthiness, but that is only because I wanted it that way. The unworthiness that was housed within my mind was extreme beyond compare, and I liked having the body to blame because somewhere inside I know the body is actually outside of me, and if I can blame the body, then I can avoid the belief that scares me most, and that is the belief that what I am, ultimately and truthfully, is inherently and entirely unworthy. And that there is nothing to blame, and so there's nothing that can be changed to change this fact about me. Holy Spirit continues, the unworthiness that you feel is deeper than you've allowed yourself to face, because you have always projected that feeling onto something else. You aren't willing to let go of your identity with that something else because you believe that is how you save yourself. Now here's an interesting little tidbit. You know, we all know A Course in Miracles, you know. I am not the body, right? I am not the body. We love to say that, I am not the body. But he's saying the truth is, if you still are afraid to face your belief in unworthiness, and you are projecting that sense of unworthiness onto the body because it makes you feel better, you don't have to look at the belief directly, there's no way you're going to give up the belief that you're a body. You know, again, we build these little traps for ourselves. Spirit's saying the only way that I can lead you to recognize your truth is to lead you to let go of these little traps that you've built for yourself. You know, I need you to see, I need you to look with me at the fact that you really would rather believe that you're unworthy because of your body than to let go of that belief. You'd really rather believe, you want to so much, to believe that you're unworthy because of your body. You'd rather believe that than let go of that belief. And the reason is because letting go of that belief, having nothing to blame for your sense of unworthiness, scares you even more. Yeah, it's protecting me, right? So you can say all day long, I am not a body, I am free, I am still as God created me, but you're never really going to get there. Not unless we look at this and heal it. Because you're way too attached to be in that body that you think you hate. You're way too attached to being that body that you think you hate. So again, the unworthiness that you feel is deeper than you've allowed yourself to face. Because you have always projected that feeling onto something else. You aren't willing to let go of your identity with that something else, in this case the body, because you believe that is how you save yourself. For some of us, we may not be willing to let go of our identity with our past, our secrets, right? Because we actually would prefer to project our sense of unworthiness onto that past. So we're not going to let go of that story. He says, you think the body is the cause. You will not give up the cause because you also believe that if the body is not the cause, then the only cause can be that unworthiness is the inherent truth of you. And then he says, I ask you to be willing. I love that. You know, because we got to have a starting point. If we're totally, totally, totally stuck in a trap, and this is what he's describing for me as a trap that I am stuck in, I can't, at least I can't usually. There have been times when I've had what I will call instantaneous healings. And by that I mean the moment Spirit showed me, I was like, I see, and I dropped it. Like, boom, you know, like a hot potato. And I had instantaneous healing. So that has happened for me in some cases. But in other cases, it seems like I'm so trapped in my belief and so attached to my belief that even when Spirit shows it to me and I see it clear as day, I can't just stop. I can't just drop it. You know, it doesn't even matter that Spirit showed me. I still can't. I can't stop clinging to it. That seems to be the case sometimes. And when that's the case, I need a starting point for healing. And the starting point that Spirit has always given me has been the same. Willingness. Or sometimes he calls it will for. Willingness. Be willing. Right? Just give your consent. Say, okay, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I am willing. Don't say no. If you say no, I won't look at it, boom, end of story. Just say I'm willing. Start there. Step one. So Spirit says, I ask you to be willing to look at this belief in your unworthiness without the anesthesia of projecting it onto a body. Again, it's kind of funny if you think about it. In the Bible, it's the very first projection. Well, there were two projections, right? There was the projection of blame to another person, right? Adam blamed the woman. She told me to eat the fruit. And the woman blamed the serpent. He told me to eat the fruit, right? So there was that projection. The other projection was the body. We're naked. We hid because we're naked. I ask you to be willing to look at this belief in your unworthiness without the anesthesia, one of the first anesthesias made, of projecting it onto a body. When you cannot blame the body, the pain of the unworthiness may go deeper than you know. Be willing to feel this pain in order to learn it is not real. Now, you see what I said? Some people say the Spirit does not guide you into pain. But look what he's saying. Be willing to feel this pain in order to learn it is not real. He has a purpose. But Spirit is not giving me guidance, you know, while I'm in this unhealed state of mind to avoid things that cause me pain. He's asking me to walk right into it and look right at it. He does. He guides us into pain when that is helpful for healing, so that pain can be released forever. But he doesn't guide us into situations that are only pleasant for our ego. Be willing to feel this pain. Be willing to feel this pain, he says, in order to learn it is not real. It is only an experience of emotion. Now, if any of y'all have NTI, one thing you could read, which will go very, very well with this teaching, is NTI 2 Timothy. And I will tell you, if there is one thing that I have learned, it's that emotional pain, whether it's fear or hatred or anger or broken heart or, you know, unworthiness, guilt. Emotional pain is nothing but an experience, a feeling. You know what the problem was before I learned that? Is that I didn't know it was just an experience, just a feeling. I thought, are you ready? I thought it was a fact. I thought that if I felt guilty, it meant I am guilty. If I felt unworthy, it meant I am unworthy. If I felt fear, it meant there is something to fear. I thought that emotions were facts. And you know what? I bet a lot of you still think that. I bet a lot of you still think that if you feel unworthy, it means you are unworthy. If you feel fear, it means there's something out there to be feared, right? What Spirit is saying is by being willing to feel the pain, not run from it, not hide it, not project it, right? Not repress it. By being willing to feel it, what we're going to learn is that it's just an experience. It comes and it goes, and it's not a fact. That is an incredibly important lesson. Once this lesson is truly learned, we can allow any feeling to move through. But when this lesson has not yet been learned, we are unable to allow our feelings to move through. And so we project them, we repress them, we deny them, we do whatever else we can, but they remain clogged up. They're a part of our walking suffering. They're a part of our stress, a part of the reason we flip off the guy that cuts us off in traffic, you know, that just that underlyingness that is always there. We can't ever be free if we can't allow the feelings to just move through. And we can't allow the feelings to just move through if we believe they're facts. We have to learn they're not facts. They're mere experiences, like sitting on a bull. You know, sitting on a bull was an experience. It happened, and now it's not happening anymore. You know, seeing a grizzly bear was an experience. It happened, and now it's not happening anymore. Feeling unworthy is an experience. It's not a fact. It's not a statement about what we are. And if we allow it to just move through, it's as temporary as sitting on a bull. It can't last forever. It's just an experience. A theme park ride. It's exactly what it is. It's a theme park ride. So Spirit says, I ask you to be willing to look at this belief in your unworthiness without the anesthesia of projecting it onto a body. When you cannot blame the body, the pain of the unworthiness may go deeper than you know. Be willing to feel this pain in order to learn it is not real. It is only an experience of emotion. But behind the experience of emotion is a light that reminds you it isn't true. Invite the pain into your presence. You do not want to avoid it anymore. And if I remember correctly, that day I said a prayer. And I invited the pain into my presence. And I decided I did not want to avoid it anymore. And, you know, there's more to this story. If you remember Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story. The rest of the story is going to come, I think, around January. When the pain of rejection, what I really, really feared, hits. And Spirit looks at it with me and we heal it together. So there's more to this story. Sometimes healings don't happen immediately. Sometimes they happen over months or over years. But you know what ultimately matters is that they happen. And the only way they're going to happen is if we are willing to believe Spirit more than our own self, little s self. You know, I can read this message and I can say, wow, that's a really good message. And then tomorrow I can get up and I can look in the mirror and I can go right back to blaming the body. If I get up tomorrow and I look in the mirror and I go right back to blaming the body, I am not making room for the healing. But if I get up tomorrow and I look in the mirror and there's just this natural blaming the body that happens, I mean, it's such a habit, but I see it and I say, I'm willing for this to be healed. I'm willing to see that my body does not make me unworthy, right? Whatever feels honest. If I respond to that, what seems like a natural reaction to looking in the mirror, that blaming the body, if I respond to that reaction, that habitual reaction, with willingness, at some point there will be a healing. And that's a guarantee. I just have to remember my part. My part is not to fall back into my old habits. My part is to start replacing those old habits with willingness. When I notice the old habit coming into the mind, I replace it with willingness right then. I don't judge myself for my old habits. They're so damn automatic. I couldn't stop them if I wanted to. But when I see the old habits come into the mind, I replace it with willingness. That's my part. And if I do that, everything else will be taken care of. Okay, so that's the message. And I know that for a lot of people, that's still a helpful message. So, once again, you know, we don't have enough time to begin another message, but I have a CD here. Jody Ebling from New England sent me a CD with new songs that have come through her. I haven't had the chance to listen to this yet because it arrived just before I went away to Yellowstone. Here's a song that might be good along with this teaching. It's song number 6. It's called There Is No Problem Too Big for God. Let's see if that includes our thighs and our waistline, shall we? Now remember, we don't need to heal the appearance in order to let go of the belief in unworthiness and rejection. We just need to let go of the belief in unworthiness and rejection and let the appearance be what it will be. And there's no true link between the two. But let's listen to There Is No Problem Too Big for God by Jody Ebling. Let me set this up. Oops. Hold on. I don't know what it is about this particular CD player, but it never works the way I expect it to. Had this one for a couple years and I still expect it to work like my old one. Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. All right, let's listen to Jody. Here we go.
That I am forced to trust. I don't have to solve it all, even though I think I must. to pray for God. There is nothing in my past that can take hold of me now, because God is leading me, showing me how to love each moment.
So there is no problem too big for God. That includes our belief in our unworthiness, our belief in our guilt, our fear of everything. Again, we just need to start with some willingness. And remember, there is no problem too big for God. There was one line in this song which actually came from the Bible. The line was, "Faith can move mountains." The truth is, you are expressing faith if you choose to give willingness, especially if you're starting at what I call point zero, where you really do believe whatever you believe. Like if you really do believe you're unworthy, and yet you give willingness to see that's not true, that is faith. And in this song and in the Bible, it says, faith can move mountains. What that really means in this case is that, you can be totally healed of even those things that you think you can't be healed of, those things that you might perceive as unhealable. So there really is no problem too big for God, but we need to start by doing our part, which is giving willingness. Dove has given us Jody's website, if anybody is interested in her CDs. It's jodyebling.com, jodyebling.com. And that's it for me, so I'm going to let go of the mic, post a few teachings, I'm behind on posting teachings, and then go eat. All right, I love you all. Oh, by the way, Deb Gary just posted a message in the room that you all might just want to go ahead and take a look at. All right, bye-bye.